Great. Well, thanks for joining us here today for our teleclass. And for those of you joining from around the world, we'd like to also wish you a happy 5th of May. We're very pleased here at the WHO to be asked to host this teleclass, Clean Your Hands, Stop the Spread of Drug-Resistant Germs, today on World Hand Hygiene Day. My name is Ed Kelly, and I'm the director for the WHO's Service Delivery and Safety Department, where we lead for the organization on infection prevention and control, and we've worked for many years with today's speaker, Professor Didier Pitet, from the WHO Collaborating Center on Patient Safety at the University of Geneva Hospitals. And for WHO, particularly on this day, it's a very proud moment. The work that the organization has done, in large part led by Didier, to change the way that the world thinks about infection prevention and control and hand hygiene, finds a new chapter in large part today that will go forward into the World Health Assembly coming in just a couple weeks' time. And that is how hand hygiene really addresses the issue, the what we've termed kind of the global warming of public health, that of the spread of drug-resistant germs and the issue of antimicrobial resistance. It's extremely high on the WHO's agenda. It will be the theme of this year's World Health Assembly, and we contribute to WHO's overall action plan on reducing AMR, particularly in this area of infection prevention and control. So I'll just remind people that Professor Pitet will be going through the slides. He'll be indicating when he's shifting slides, and also be able to now and again give the slide number. But you'll be following on your own screen, and we will not be taking questions. Just we have a massive global audience today, which we're very pleased about, but it doesn't really allow us to go around the virtual room, as it were, and take questions. But you are able to send your questions to us, as well as to Paul Weber and Weber Training, and we can try and respond to them. With that, and without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to you, Didier, to kick us off. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Ed. It's a pleasure to be with all of you here on this 5th of May, and I'm looking forward to all the activities that are ongoing nowadays around the world. So effectively, as Al told you, as shown on the first slide, which is actually the title of the lecture, Clean Your Hands, Stop the Spread of Drug-Resistant Germs, today is World Hand Hygiene Day. Next slide is slide number 2. Hand hygiene, figuring the promotion that we started many years ago for a global life-saving action, we launched in October 2005. Slide number 3, to remind you, WHO 5th of May, over the years, from 2009, the first year of the Save Lives, Clean Your Hand campaign, from between 2009 to 2013, where we reached 15 or almost 16,000 hospitals participating into the campaign, to 2014 this year, where we say it takes just 5 women to change the world. Can your hands stop the spread of drug resistance? And you discover the new posters that we issued for this year. Slide number 4 is summarizing the Universal Declaration of Human Germ, and as over a joke telling you this is worthless as long as Pitet has not signed it, but as long as any one of you has not signed it. And I think that this is where we are. This is what is our commitment to patient, is to stop the spread of antimicrobial resistance, and this is what we will be discussing today, providing evidence and reviewing some literature. On the next slide, slide number 5, the 5th of May 2014 is actually linking between the My 5 moment for hand hygiene that you all of you know very well, and the fight against drug resistance, fight against antimicrobial resistance in particular, the way it has been put forward. No action today, no cure tomorrow. The World Health Day of 2011 at WHO was actually directed toward resistance already. So this year we wanted to really make the link between you promoting better hand hygiene and actually resistance being actually controlled by a better hand hygiene, of course, which is not the only thing to do, but certainly a very important part to do. The next slide, slide number 6, is actually giving you the menu for today's lecture, WHO and the world. We will provide and discuss new scientific and scientific observation. We will look at data to drive future action. We will see how you could provide patient and public information and use it. We will have a focus on advocacy, awareness, raising, and engagement. And we will review Save Lives, Clean Your Hands around the world. Where do we sit? Where are we today? So, next slide, slide number 7, actually, describing the different steps that we will be reviewing today together. Let's start by discussing new information, new scientific information, slide number 8. This slide shows you the WHO Global Report and infographic on antimicrobial resistance, AMR, that has been provided very, very recently by WHO on April 13 of 2014. And as you can see on the slide, you can access the website in order to get the entire report and all the information. The next slide will start summarizing slide number 9, the key messages. In this report, you will find data for any of the selected 9 bacteria-antibacterial drug combinations of public health importance obtained from 114 member states. So I will really encourage you to look at this report, which is one of the largest ever published. AMR is a serious and current threat to public health in every WHO region, with the potential to affect anyone of any age in any country. And I think that this is a very, very important take-home message. Systematic literature reviews are provided on health and economic burden due to AMR in infections caused by resistant A. coli, E. coli, Klebsiella pneumoniae, and MRSA. As you may see on this report, patients with infections caused by resistant bacteria generally have an increased risk of worse clinical outcomes and deaths and consume more healthcare resources. So definitely are very important for our healthcare systems. So in the next coming several slides, slide number 10, you will see E. coli resistance to third generation cephalosporins in this case. I will have no time to review in detail all of the results, but you see that we have reported the range of resistance in proportion, as you can see, from African region on the first line, speaking of national data, and speaking of published data on respective second and third column. You can see that the reported rate of ranges of resistance vary highly between the different region, whether it's African region, region of the Americas, Eastern Mediterranean region, European region, Southeast Asian regions, and Western Pacific regions, who are the actually 6 WHO region. And as you can see, the problem is absolutely universal. Also, there is a large range of reported resistance. The problem is definitively universal. If you look at slide number 11, these are Klebsiella pneumoniae resistance to third generation cephalosporin again. And this is a little bit of the same picture. The resistance level could be higher in some region than in others, but clearly the problem is large and universal. On the next slide, which is again Klebsiella pneumonia, but this time resistance to carbapenems. And of course, resistance to carbapenem is the next step of resistance. And as you can see, And importantly, you have the same regions again that are listed. The region, speaking of national data, the resistance range between most of the fine, 0 and let's say 10-11%, with an exception in the Eastern Mediterranean region and the European region, with ranges between 0 and 54, respectively 68%. So a very, very, very important problem in these two regions. But as you can see, if you compare national data with published data for the Southeast Asian region, you can see that there is a huge difference. Then that will it will range up to 55% of resistance in the published data in this case. So very important problem that is definitely on the rise and that definitely needs to be followed up. On the slide number 13, Staph aureus, resistance to beta-lactam antimicrobials, what is called MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. As you can see, either national data or published data are really demonstrated that the problem with MRSA is absolutely universal. There is no question about it. There are large variations in regions like in Europe in particular, but definitely there are extremely high rates, whether it's we are speaking about national data or whether we are speaking about published data. Let's move now to the next slide, slide number 14. What is now the impact? And this is a new literature review that we conducted with the WHO Clean Care is Safer Care team here in Geneva. We look at the impact of hand hygiene to reduce transmission of infection and infections by multi-drug-resistant organisms in healthcare settings. And this was a systematic literature review that I will actually show you a few data, and I will certainly encourage you to look at the report. You have the website address to access the information, as you can see. The results, to make a long story short, next slide, I'll summarize on the slide number 15. Well, you can see that we reviewed the literature from January of 1980 to December 2013. There were 39 studies on hand hygiene as the key intervention implemented in the study period, and including data about the impact on MDROs, infection and or transmission rates, as well as on hand hygiene indicators. Importantly, only 4 over 39 studies failed to demonstrate an impact of hand hygiene interventions in this case, or improvement in the MDRO infection and or colonization. But important is to say that one of these studies did not show any significant improvement of hand hygiene compliance, thus explaining the failure to reduce infections, while another study was quite low in quality. It was a low-quality retrospective study. In addition, 60 studies investigated the impact of hand hygiene to reduce MDRO infections as part of interventions, including other infection control measures, and they were all positive. On the next slide, slide number 16, you have examples of published papers in the literature. I will not enter into the details of these papers, but clearly those papers are important and are pushing the information forward to clearly demonstrate the role of actually hand hygiene in reducing MDRO. On slide number 17, a summary is provided. The key findings are that successful promotion of hand hygiene results in substantial and sustained reduction in healthcare-associated infections caused by gram-negative, by gram-positive MDRO, especially MRSA in this case. On the next slide, slide number 18, we review the impact of hand hygiene on the reduction of MDROs, speaking of gram-negative bacteria. Clinical studies also supported data showing lower incidence rates of resistant E. coli and carbapenem-resistant P. aeruginosa in wards achieving compliance levels higher than 70% and the greatest degree of compliance increase, as in this paper published by Trick and colleagues in ISHE in 2006. 2007. Increased hand hygiene compliance from 43% to 95%, almost 96%, resulted in an almost 9% decrease in healthcare-associated infections and a decline in the occurrence of bloodstream infection, MRSA, and extensively resistant Acinetobacter baumannii and intensive care unit infections in the paper published by Chen and colleague in PLOS ONE in 2011. So clearly, very nice evidence of the impact of such a strategy, hand hygiene. On the next slide, you see a summary of not only the effectiveness or the evidence, but the cost-benefit analysis. Three examples. Paper that demonstrate the effectiveness and limitation of hand hygiene promotion on decreasing healthcare-associated infection by Chen and colleague. And the summary is indicated on the slide. For every US dollar spent on hand hygiene promotion, it could result in actually a US dollar almost 4 benefit. So reduction of MRSA and extensively drug-resistant Acinetobacter baumannii in this case, linked to an improvement of hand hygiene, was definitively cost-effective. Second paper, the paper that is indicated on the left-hand side of the column, a Lean Six Sigma team increases hand hygiene compliance and reduces hospital-acquired MRSA infections by 51%. Overall prevention of 41 MRSA infections resulted in a gross saving of U.S. dollar more than $350,000, with a net saving of U.S. dollar more than $250,000. In the third paper that we selected here, hand hygiene non-compliance and the cost of healthcare-associated infection due to MRSA. It's a mathematical model, and as you can see, a 200-bed hospital incurs U.S. dollar 1.7 million in annual MRSA infection-related expenses attributable to hand hygiene non-compliance. So in this case, if you do not comply with hand hygiene, you cost a lot of money to your institution. In this setting, 1% increase in hand hygiene compliance would result in annual savings of U.S. dollar 40,000. So really, the cost-benefit approach really is demonstrated for hand hygiene promotion. On the next slide, slide number 20, you see increase in hand hygiene compliance and reduction of multi-drug-resistant organism. In this case, increase in hand hygiene compliance resulted in 51% decrease in MRSA. This is actually published by Carbono et al. In the Journal for Healthcare Quality, and as you can see, there is a saving for the hospital of $276,000 in this case. Slide number 21, you see another paper from another part of the world where promoting and sustaining a hospital-wide multifaceted hand hygiene program resulted in significant reduction in healthcare-associated infection. In this case, this is MRSA expressed per episodes per 1,000 patient days that actually decreased from 0.42 in 2006 to 0.08 in 2011. Speaking of device-associated infection per 1,000, there was a marked decrease for VAP, for CLABSI, as well as for catheter-associated UTI. On the next slide, slide number 22, Australian National Hand Hygiene Initiative. Australian National Hand Hygiene Initiative is absolutely currently the leading initiative, the most impressive achievement at the national level. And as you know, Australia is very, very large. It's almost to the level of a continent, where multimodal culture change campaign was associated with significant reduction in MRSA bacteremia and MRSA clinical isolates identified in these national campaigns. On slide number 23, you have the classical figures now published in the BMG in 2012. of the campaign, the National Hand Hygiene Initiative in England and Wales, where you can see that healthcare workers used more and more alcohol-based hand rub and also more and more soap in hospitals between July-September 2004 and July-September 2008. And in parallel, you can nicely see in the right-hand side of the screen the marked reduction in MRSA bacteremia that actually outreached the target that were set up nationally. Importantly, on the next slide, slide number 24, you have to remind that informing the world about the result and the results that are so motivating for healthcare workers is absolutely key. So I will encourage all of you really to go on and start learning how to tweet, to send your information on Twitter, on Facebook, and on all these social medias so that people get encouraged by your experience and by the fantastic results that you can obtain in your institution. The next slide is really summarizing a book that has been written by Professor Dan Sally Davis. Dan Sally Davis, who is the current Chief Medical Officer of England, who actually wrote this book, The Drugs Don't Work, A Global Threat. Very, very important message. An alarming and irreversible crisis on the same level as global warming. So it means that, like Ed introduced the topic earlier, it's clear that antimicrobial resistance is like global warming. It concerns all of us. It concerns everyone. But there is a cure, at least part of the problem could be cured by the promotion at large scale of hand hygiene when hand hygiene promotion is successful. The next slide is also summarizing for you, slide 26, the science, the fact that annual societal cost of illness for AMR is considered to be roughly $55 billion for the U.S. alone, and even maybe higher. Suboptimal infection control is a factor in spread of resistant microorganisms. The public must be aware of the scale of AMR treat and must perceive antimicrobials as non-renewable and endangered resource. Infection control, including hand hygiene, is still performed suboptimally, contributing to the spread of AMR, and tackling AMR requires action on multiple levels. And of course, when you say requires actions on a multiple level, you go back and look at the call for action. The call to action, as summarized in this case, in the paper published in ARIC, I would recommend you to access this paper. There are actually actions that are listed, and they are in the number as you can see, action, prohibit over-the-counter antimicrobial sales worldwide, action, prepare actually of a detailed charter on antimicrobial conservation now, ratified and upheld by all ministries of health. Action number 3, develop coordinated, culturally sensitive campaigns for the public. Give info on protecting antimicrobials as a limited resource. Action number 4, support the improvement and sanitation systems to eliminate resistant microbes in wastewater and include hand washing advice. Action number 5, establish standardized universal methods and metrics for surveillance and antimicrobial use and resistance development. Action number 6, medical and veterinary schools curricula to ensure instruction on microbial resistance and use of antimicrobials. And last but not least, 7th action, advance point-of-care rapid diagnostics to avoid the prescription of antibiotics for viral infections. These are examples and actually key call to action that were determined by a group of almost 100 experts who met in Annecy in June 2011 in order to summarize and and quantify and actually prioritize among the main major call to action that you could recommend. On the next slide, slide 28, I would certainly encourage all of you, for those who haven't read this report, that's the report on the burden of endemic healthcare-associated infection worldwide that we published now several years ago, that really states the tone of the new scientific information that was generated over the past years in order to actually address this issue. Let's move now to slide number 29, which is summarizing and starting the second part of this five-part talk, which is data to drive future action. As always, it is key to benefit from data to help driving future action. Slide number 30, the WHO Global OMR Survey that we actually pushed in 2014. I would like to thank all of you for those who participated into those surveys that were actually promoted by the Clean Care is Safer Care team, and that were, as you will see, very, very successful. I will come on these and summarize some of the data for you in the next coming minutes or so. Next slide, slide number 31. First of this survey, the WHO laboratory-based global survey on multi-drug-resistant organisms in healthcare that we conducted, and I will present to you an interim analysis. The reason why I'm presenting an interim analysis is that the survey is still ongoing, and we have analyzed some of the data now to provide some data for the very first time on the 5th of May. The aim was to estimate the burden of MDROs isolated among inpatients in a wide range of healthcare facilities worldwide. It was an online survey between March 13, and we stopped the data collection on April 13 in this case, based on the routine ordinary collection of clinical blood and urine, actually culture specimens over 1 week. Participants were healthcare settings registered for the WHO Save Lives, Clean Your Hands global campaign and other WHO associated network. We had a total of 334 laboratories from 54 countries in all six WHO regions submitted data, which is absolutely fantastic, and I would like to thank you all for your participation. MDROs included in the surveys, and here are the definitions. I don't want to enter into the details. You can get the slide, and you will keep the slide for actually looking at the data more carefully. But these are standards of definitions of resistance. Slide number 33, you see countries participating in the WHO Global MDRO surveys, and this is the interim results. As you can see, we got countries from all over the world with probably a representativity that is a little less from Africa than from the rest of the world, but basically we got a huge participation, and we'd like to thank to all of you who participated. Next slide, on 34, you will see now different resistance patterns, in this case for staph aureus isolated from blood and urine samples and related resistance. This is, as I said earlier, interim analysis. And as you can see, if you look at staph aureus proportion of MRSA, you can say that the proportion of MRSA is ranging between something like 37.6% to 40%, and it's clear that this is a very significant problem. Looking at enterococci species and VRE, as you can see, the figures are not the same, but VRE resistance is actually around 10% maximum in this case. This was for staph aureus, and in this case also for gram-positive, speaking of enterococcus. The next slide, 35, is showing you data with E. coli isolated from blood and urine samples and related resistance. And as you can see, third column, E. coli number isolates a lot, a number that is much, much, much larger for Europe than for the rest of the countries and regions cited here. But clearly, resistance was present in E. coli. ESBL production and CRE are listed on the next column and the last column. As you can see, ESBL production ranged from the lower 12% in Europe to the highest, which is around 55% in CIR, in the CIRO region. And for CRE, as you can see, it ranges from 0.7% in Europe to actually 10.2% in CIRO. So definitely another very important problem that will need to be addressed in the very next and very near future. Then the next slide is showing you data about Klebsiella, isolated again from blood and urine samples. And as you can see, the resistance, speaking of ESBL producing Klebsiella, range between, and it's much higher than for E. coli, you can see, it ranges between a third, which is 30% in the America, and going up to 48%, which is very, very high. In Emirate. And importantly, CRE was ranging between, I would say, 2-10%, with a very high and marked increase in the last region, which is CIR, or CIRO if you like, where we have a lot of actually those CRE that are totally resistant or pan-resistant to these strong and resistant bacteria. And the next slide, slide number 37, is summarizing for you Acinetobacter species isolated from blood and urine samples and related resistance. We have data in this case for Europe and for EMRO, and as you can see, it ranges between 13 and actually 40%, which is pretty high, as you may understand, for a region like the Eastern Mediterranean region, but was expected in some way because of the number of outbreaks that are reported from this area of the world. Now, the second survey I would like to speak about is explicited on the next slide, slide number 38, which is the WHO Global Survey on Surgical Antibiotic Prophylaxis, or so-called SAP, in healthcare, and this is again an interim analysis that I would be presenting to you. It's clear that it's important to present information on prevalence and duration of infection and about strategy for prevention in a wide range of healthcare settings worldwide. Speaking of the design, it was an online survey that we conducted from March 10 to April 13. Actually, the survey is on; it was ongoing until the last days, with submission of data about standardized situation or actually surgical antibiotic prophylaxis related to all patients having had surgery over the 3 working days before the survey day. So the participants were healthcare facilities registered for the WHO Save Lives, Clean Your Hands global campaign and other WHO associated networks. A total of 357 healthcare facilities that sum up the data of a total of more than 8,000 patients from 50 countries and all WHO regions of the world has been provided, and that's really important and large. And I will show you some of the data and go through some of the data with you in a minute. Here you have the WHO region interim results, Africa, America, and all the different regions. And as you can see, that we had a large number of patients from all over the world, the larger burden being actually generated from Europe. On slide number 40, the type of surgical ward, you see that we worked in general surgery, in obstetric gynecology, in orthopedics, in urology and in other area of the hospital. The next slide shows the number of antibiotics given for surgical prophylaxis, whether you received one antibiotic, two antibiotics, or three antibiotics, and whether the survey is conducted in different parts of the world. And as you can see, the worst situation is in Africa, who in proportion you will receive two antibiotics much more frequently than in the rest of the world, but definitely in the rest of the world this is still not perfect. On slide number 42, the frequency of administration by region is indicated, and once again, as you can see here, there are prescriptions that are given that last much too longer, actually, in many parts of the world. The next slide, slide number 43, show the antibiotic prophylaxis continuation after the operation. This is first the average, so it means that on average, in 40% of surgeries, there is a continuation of antibiotic prophylaxis after the operation, which is absolutely huge, and this is absolutely not what we were expected before we started doing the study. There are large differences between Western Pacific region and Europe or the Americas, but still those data are, if you like, not good, because it means that 40% of these patients continues to receive an antibiotic, and we should probably not do that. Antibiotic continuation according to wound class. So as you can see on this slide, it seems that antibiotic continuation was sort of extremely frequent in this case, and it was no difference. There was no difference between the admission of the person to the hospital and the fact that I show you this data on different countries from around the world. Definitely huge difference between clean contaminated, contaminated, dirty and infected, but nevertheless with a huge consumption of antibiotic continuation actually by clean surgery, which is not normal. Slide number 45, where you see antibiotic prophylaxis continuation by surgical procedures, and as you can see, most of the procedures that were identified as at risk for continuation of antibiotic prophylaxis are gynecology obstetric procedure, head, neck, and thoracic surgery, orthopedic surgery, which is a surprise, as well as abdominal surgery, which is no surprise, and other type of strategy and surgery. Reason for antibiotic continuation are indicated on this slide: inadequate sterility or operating room theater conditions, others unknown, and surgeon's preference, that is very important, to prevent surgical site infections or according to departmental guidelines. What is very important is that most of the time, it is in 40% of the time, it is due to departmental guidelines to continue to use antibiotics. So this would need to be changed. This is really a call for action at this level, which means that your departmental guidelines should not include continuation of antibiotic prophylaxis. And this would end the second part of my talk. I move to slide number 47, where I am entering to providing patient and public information, which is so important today. Slide number 48, hand hygiene is the frontline defense against infection, according to Janine Thomas, MRSA Survivors Network. And that, I think, is extremely important to keep in mind. It is extremely important to keep in mind. Next slide, slide number 49, you could have new patient and public information on AMR. I would really encourage you to access this document on WHO website, hand hygiene and antibiotic resistance, WHO information for patients and consumers. Please access the website as indicated here. And this year, next slide, slide number 50, there's a fantastic story, which is that clean hands save lives, helping the public to understand the story. A book has been written by a French author. It has been translated in 6 different languages. The seventh language has been submitted this morning to us. Clean Hands, Save Lives, written by Thierry Crouzet. You can access the website of the foundation that has been created, cleanhandssavelives.org. The foreword of the book has been written by Dr. Margaret Chan, WHO Director General, and Sir Liam Donaldson, WHO Patient Safety Envoy. As I told you, next slide, slide number 51, the book has been translated in and published today in six different languages that are indicated on this slide: French, English, German, Japanese, and then in Spanish and in Portuguese. You will find those books available on website, and you can access them, and they are on the Amazon and available all over the world. And I can tell you that this book is made for the general public, but also for infection control, infectious disease, and patient safety experts all around the world. Next slide, slide number 52. Informing the public, the influence of social media is summarized for you. Please go on social media, follow WHO Twitter, follow us on Twitter, and share experience. Slide number 53 is introducing to you the fourth element that I wanted to discuss today, a focus on advocacy, awareness raising, and engagement. And this year, next slide, slide number 54, we have introduced these new posters. These new posters, it takes just 5 moments to change the world. Clean your hands, stop the spread of drug-resistant bacteria. These new posters that figure the role of alcohol-based hand rub to actually kill multi-resistant bacteria. Please access the website and don't actually download those posters. There are many more. Slide number 55. These posters, it just takes 5 moments to change the world. Speaking of moment number 2, speaking of moment number 3, speaking of moment number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, please access our website and discover the new posters, as well as, next slide, slide number 56, the new WHO 5-moment screensaver, which is so fantastic for you to install in your computer. Please access the website, access the screensaver, and use it. The next slide, slide number 57, is also showing to you the new poster that has been created, My 5 Moments for Hand Hygiene, focused on caring for a patient with a urinary catheter, which, as you know, is a source of resistance and a source of resistant bacteria. So we would like you to really use this poster to reduce antimicrobial resistance that is linked to the fact that the patient is actually using a urinary catheter. Certainly that is necessary, but certainly that we can fight antimicrobial resistance. And this will end with the fourth part of my slideshow and go to the next slide, slide number 58. That is simply introducing to you Save Lives, Clean Your Hands Around the World. Where are we today is the question that all of us and all of you are interesting to get the answer to. Next slide, slide number 59, is summarizing for you the countries with healthcare facilities registered for Save Lives, Clean Your Hands global campaign. And as you can see here, there are many, many, many around the world that are participating. And in many countries around the world, there are more than 60 healthcare facilities per 10 million populations that are participating. In the countries where we have less, it's less than 3 per 10,000 populations, but these are usually huge countries that are part of the program. This is really fantastic to see and get this data. And on slide 60, there is a new information. We have reached more than 17,000 registrations from 171 countries for the 5th of May 2014. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank you warmly, to thank you and congratulate all of you for this fantastic success. There is no campaign that is actually having together so many hospitals, so many healthcare facilities in so many different countries from around the world. Let me remind you that in as United Nations member state registered, there are 194. And we have here 171 countries registered with actually healthcare settings participating into the 5th of May campaign. And I want to wish you good luck in your 5th of May promotion. The next slide, slide number 61. A special congratulations to new countries that have been introduced since the year 2013, which is Guinea, Montenegro, and Barbados. Welcome on board, Guinea, Montenegro, and Barbados. Be part of the campaign and go quickly to make sure that you are promoting hand hygiene on the best way. Another congratulations, which is of very high importance to me, we have reached the very first WHO region, which is the Eastern Mediterranean region, regional office for the Eastern Mediterranean region, where there are registrations from every country in the world region. So it means that every country in this region has at least one, but most of the time it's a lot more, healthcare facility participating into the campaign. The next slide is showing you example of organization websites that you can all access that are actually stakeholder for the mobilization of the campaign. Slide number 63, next slide, show you other examples of organization websites that you can see all over the world participating in many, many different languages. Next slide, slide 64, example of countries' activities. In some countries, activities are ongoing at the national level, and you can see here those countries. Next slide, slide number 65, other countries, other examples of countries' activities. I would like to congratulate all these countries for these centralized activities that are so important. The next slide, 66, example hospital activity images. Please send your material. You have material here from Hong Kong, from Singapore, from South Africa, from Malta, from the United Arab Emirates, from Wales, from Hong Kong, and from Argentina. And this is only to cite a few, but please send us your photos, your pictures, and your memories of the 5th of May. Let's move on the next slide, the slide number 67, which is very important to me, which is and are private organizations for patient safety, the so-called POPs, that are very exemplar commitment. It means that those private organizations have met together and are meeting together twice a year in order to participate and coordinate their action on and around the 5th of May. And those companies that are participating into this should really be congratulated, because it's so important for all of us to be together in this campaign. Thank you again for these efforts. On the next slide, the slide 65, you will 68, sorry, you will see something that is absolutely unique and that's never been shown by any other campaign, as far as I know, from around the world. What is happening with this private organization for patient safety? For the very first time, those organizations will sit together in a booth at APIC in June of 2014. APIC in Anaheim, California, from June 7th to June 9th. I will personally be there. I will meet with these POPs companies. I will be at the POPs booth during APIC 2014. It will be very important. I will be lecturing during this meeting, lecturing at this Congress, giving a keynote lecture, but also actually sitting at that booth in order for all of you who want to meet with me or my team at WHO, the Clean Care is Safer Care team, as well as those POPs company, private organization for patient safety, being part of the POPs, to meet with you and to actually give you details, give you information, give you motivation to continue with your campaign. And that's very, very, very important. We are all together into this action, and it's very important for all of us to remind it. On the next slide, the slide 69 is giving you a country story from 2007. I could have selected another country, of course. I could have selected other example. We could have worked on other example. This year, let's say this year is the year of Costa Rica. We are celebrating Costa Rica, and let me show you why. You all know where is Costa Rica, and if you don't, you look at this map of actually Central America, where you can see Nicaragua on the north, you can see Panama on the south. Costa Rica is a small country, it's not a large country, as you can see on the map, and you see a few details of Costa Rica, which nicely sits between the Caribbean Sea and the Pacific Ocean. I've been there, I know the place, I know the hospital we'll be talking about. That was the hospital. Next slide, slide number 70, that was the Pilot Center for the Americas, field testing of the WHO guidelines between 2006 and 2008, in this case, Piloto de las Americas in Costa Rica, and I will show you some of what has been shown. The story, in Costa Rica, during the dry season, water shortages are an issue. So where was a need? There was a need for an alternative method for cleaning hands in healthcare. It was also important to address compliance with WHO recommended actions to prevent healthcare-associated infection, including from drug-resistant bacteria. In Costa Rica, early reports showed hand hygiene compliance was as low as 40%. Alcohol-based hand rub is available throughout the hospital at patient bedsides where it is needed most, and in health centers in Costa Rica following WHO recommendation. And patients have benefited since there are fewer infections in the hospitals. So this is the beginning of the story in Costa Rica. So important story. What I can tell you is that at some point in Costa Rica, unfortunately, they had a shortage of alcohol-based hand rub only for a few months, and at the same time, infections that were reduced were again coming up. And fortunately, alcohol-based hand rub could be reintroduced immediately, and again, healthcare-associated infection dropped down. So this is a story, of course. This is a story of a hospital that started the campaign. The hospital was able to drive the campaign into many hospitals from around the country and then to demonstrate the value of hand hygiene promotion by a decrease, actually, of healthcare-associated infection at a very, very large level. Next slide, slide number 71. What is the future? Well, the future starts by you making sure that you will access, and this is slide number 72, that you will access the WHO website of Clean Care is Safer Care on the 5th of May. That you will share your experience with us, sending us data, sending us photos, sending us experience, sending us videos that we can share in order that we make sure that we are all participating into the same fight. The other very important website that you should access is the one of the Clean Hands Save Lives .org, which has a newsroom media where we will post all your experiences so that each of you could actually look at what others have been doing over the past years, over the past decade in some times, or even over the past days. Doesn't matter. We all want to be together in these, sharing our experience in order to do it as much as possible, as better as possible, and better next year than we did this year. And that's very important. And the third element is social media, or our social media. You should follow WHO on Facebook and Twitter. You should follow, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I'm now on Facebook and on Twitter. And we are trying to keep you informed of what what's going on. It's so important for you to know that you are not alone. Remember, there are 171 countries of the 194 countries that are part of this campaign. Remember, there are more than 17,000 hospitals that are celebrating the 5th of May today. And remember, you are part of them. So you are part of a huge and giant family that is fighting to reduce healthcare-associated infection. The next slide is slide number 73. Using innovative ways around the world to apply the five moments. You probably all know that we have a hand hygiene video that is freely available from the website of the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, we have obtained from the New England Journal of Medicine to actually translate those videos into many different languages, and you access those at the WHO website. They have been translated in French, Portuguese, Japanese, Spanish, Italian, German, Chinese, Russian, Romanian, Turkish, and there are many more to come. Soon they will be translated in Shewali, in Urdu, and more and more and more. And if you are interested in the new languages, please let us know. We will help you. We will try to do everything to make it possible. Slide number 74. Continue to use the WHO hand hygiene self-assessment framework. Remember, that's the only way to know at what level you are. Look at this website address. Website address is indicating to you where you could access the WHO hand hygiene self-assessment framework. You can access it in many different languages. It's very easy to understand what it is. It is a simple score. It takes only 2 hours for you to monitor where you are, where your institution is in the way to move from hand hygiene average level to hand hygiene excellence level. And if you are not excellent, you can use the plan for action. There is an action plan for you for hand hygiene improvement template action plan from the WHO framework that you can get in order to improve. And once you improve, you could sometime become excellent. And this is the next slide, the slide number 75. On slide number 75, you could see in APSIC in 2013 in Shanghai, the leaders, the hospitals, who got the Asia-Pacific Hand Hygiene Excellence Awards for 2013. It was the awards for 2012 to 2013 for the Asia-Pacific region. But nowadays, these Hand Hygiene Excellence Awards exist. It exists for Europe. It exists for Asia Pacific, as you can see, and it started this year actually in Central and South America, and soon will be in other regions of the world. So please apply to these and become a Hand Hygiene Excellence Award hospitals. It is so important. Before I end up this lecture, let me tell you again the pleasure to be with you, the pleasure to thank you all for participating into this campaign. That's the only way. If you sort of tell others that you are participating, that others will come on board and follow you on the way of excellence for hand hygiene promotion. And that's the only way you will make sure that patients are protected and we are reducing the risk for healthcare-associated infection. So, on the next slide, is telling you what are the WHO teleclass schedule associated with Clean Care is Safer Care in 2014. And as you can see, the teleclasses are many. The next teleclass is to come in September. There are many other teleclasses, of course, that are organized by Paul Weber, who is hosting us today. But these are the next coming teleclasses, part of the WHO teleclass schedule. schedule. I would like to thank you very, very much for this fantastic day, for this fantastic 5th of May from all over the world. And I would like to also recognize our sponsors. Next slide that summarizes thanks to Teleclass Education. Patron sponsors are indicated here, including, of course, the World Health Organization. Clean Care is Safer Care. Thank you very much for your attention. Looking forward to questions that you may have, that you may send by email, and looking forward to meet with you in the different places from around the world to promote and actually secure better patient safety. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Didier. This is Ed. Again, just to wrap things up, and an amazing amount of information to get through, and just an amazing perspective on how things have progressed in this global campaign to improve hand hygiene, and now looking at how the contribution can be made to reducing multidrug-resistant organisms. And, a personal thank you to Didier for his long leadership on this work. It's been a pleasure working with him personally, and all of you who know him know that the energy just that in that presentation is even just a fraction of the energy he brings globally. So please come and see the booth. And just a final thank you to the team that's worked today. We have about, as Didier mentioned, 30 countries having national events today, over 40 international organizations or networks are promoting the 5th of May through different websites and communication channels. And this year has by far been our most active year on Twitter and on social media. We have over 6,000 people, if you can imagine, listening today. And there's over 30,000 registered for today's teleclass, which is just unbelievable. So thank you to the team, Benedetta Allegranzi, Soren Bianca, Nizam Damani, Claire Kilpatrick, Zeynep Kubilai, and also thank you to the team that our collaborators who work with us on some of the tools development for today, including Dr. Damani and Mr. Wallace from the UK, Marianne McGuckin from the US, Professor Sanjay Saints from Michigan in the US, Hugo Sachs working from Zurich, and Janine Thomas from the MRSA Survivors Network, as well as the Ministries of Health of Spain and Portugal, who helped work with us on translation of some of the tools. And as Didier mentioned, our POPS platform and colleagues out there, we're looking forward to seeing in upcoming conferences. And finally, a thank you to Weber Training for hosting us today. And please look forward to the upcoming events and continue that activity on social media for the rest of the day here on the 5th of May. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you at the next Weber Training class.